When you have to exercise discipline, here's what it looks like. You invoke the name of Jesus and his power. He's with you, Matthew, remember we looked at. Do it in the name of Jesus. When someone's sitting today, the first thing they say is, Jesus isn't judging me. And when the church makes this determination, Jesus is saying, do it in my name. Jesus is on the side of his office bearers who've done their job in care and love.
Church discipline. What a real challenge in our culture today, especially inside of the church. But that is the challenge before us as we continue our look at a short series called Recovering Church Discipline. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who begins today with a look at Paul's disgust at what was actually going on in the church at Corinth. With more, once again, here's Pastor Chris.
The real disgust of the apostle is, why are you doing nothing about this? Let's get to motivations for a minute. Why are you avoiding this? It's a lot more difficult when things are clear, but this is clear. Everyone knew this is wrong. It wasn't a theological debate. And this leads you to the compromise here of church discipline in Corinth. He says in verse 2, and you are arrogant. That's quite a charge, isn't it? Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from you. I'm struck by that. Where does arrogance show up in the life of a church? Where does pride come out in somebody? In their siding with a sinner against God. And they're standing with the one who's clearly sinned against God and refusing to stand with the Lord. How arrogant. How arrogant. Paul is speaking here of us fearing people rather than God. In other words, something happened in the life of the church. You know, you think of these situations. Leaders are faced with a choice. What is often the first concern of the leadership? The sin of the person? If they're godly leadership, their status before God, the sin they've committed, or I don't want to touch that. You know who the parent is? You know who the grandparent is? You know the consequences in the life of the church if we do that? These are the things we struggle with. I think this was Paul's point in chapter 6. Don't be deceived on this matter. Here's what's at stake. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor adulterers, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a heavy list, and we stand back and say, well, we're all sinners. Of course we're all sinners. There's a big difference between fighting against sin, repenting of sin, and justifying sin. Big difference. And this is what Paul's addressing here. Someone in the life of the church practicing these things, Paul's saying, you can't be deceived. See how easy it is to be deceived on this stuff today? God will overlook it. God doesn't mind. And this is what Paul's dealing with. So the question is what does Paul call the church in Corinth to do with somebody practicing sin? I emphasize again, living in unrepentant, daily, leave me alone, I'm doing nothing wrong, kind of lifestyle in sin that's hardened their heart. Somebody in the church, somebody who's made a profession, somebody who knows the truth and has departed from the truth and says that. What do we do? What is God calling the church to do? And this comes a challenge. We all agree that there are wrongs until it faces us. Godly leadership, principle leadership, is called to act on the truth of it realizing that whatever consequences there are from the decision, that's part of leadership. That's part of fearing God and letting the results fall to Him. Well, we don't want our church to be viewed like that in the community. Do you care what your church is viewed like before God? So you have this sort of choice, a biblical basis for discipline, or often social pressures and social ones and pragmatism and what good will this do anyways? We've never seen anyone repent. I have. I've actually seen it. I'll get back to that. It was most likely for social reasons that the church in Corinth did nothing. He's male. Male-dominated society. Got away with everything at that time. Sexual morality. Much easier than on the women, right? As is still true today. The women were disregarded. It's probably well known. Probably influential. One pastor said, these kind of people are dangerous to offend in a society in which any form of discipline is considered unloving. The pressures are all the worse. I have a million examples to use. I'll stay as far down the path as when I was an intern, far away from here. I sat in a church council as an intern years ago. And I remember the situation. A man, a well-known, respected man in the church, turned, and he forbid his wife and children to come to church anymore. And this went on indefinitely. Somebody said, well, what are we going to do about that? He's not letting his wife wants to come. And I raised my hand. This is the intern who should have probably just shut up. I said, in what case would we ever church discipline? No answer. This is situations that are difficult. You know, you can save yourselves, you think, a lot of problems by avoiding the hard things to do in life. It's easy to do that. It's easy to avoid talking to our children when they've sinned. It's easy to stay away from it. You're doing them no favors. Corinth was ignoring the problem. And here's the problem. Everyone in the church thought, oh, guess it doesn't matter. Guess it doesn't matter. You know, if so-and-so over there can do that, I can do it. This is a real problem. The fear of the Lord is absent in a place. Paul was horrified by this relaxed attitude. And here's the irony. For all the claim of love in our culture, what does he say they're not doing? Mourning for the person. Shouldn't you rather be mourning? And their lack of mourning, their lack of care, showed it's not really about love. Not really about love. We have made sin no big deal. And Paul says, this is the call. Make a judgment about it. You have the word of God. He's told you what's true and right. This case is very clear. For indeed, verse 3, he says, though I'm absent in the body, I'm present in the spirit, and as if present, I've already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that, now listen to this, his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. That's a surprising interjection, isn't it? Surprising interjection. Paul says down in verse 12, you're really not judging those on the outside. Matter of fact, this is Rosaria Butterfield's big complaint against the church today, is that, you know, we can go and sit with our homosexual friend who doesn't believe and have dinner. But we can't sit with the homosexual person or the adulterer or anyone who says they're a believer and says they're a Christian and act like that's okay. That's wrong. The world's given over. That's why we're here. But for the Christian, To sit around with somebody who says they're a Christian and lives a total lie, that's hypocrisy to put your rubber stamp on that. That's what he says. So he says, put away the evil. The church and the elders have to be able to discern and judge what is Christian behavior and what isn't Christian behavior. And listen to what he says here in this call. When you're gathered together with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Here's what he's saying. When you come together, and I love what our Heidelberg says tonight. Did you notice how much patience was given in this? Those who, though called Christians, profess unchristian teachings or live unchristian lives, and who after repeated personal and loving admonitions refuse to abandon their errors and evil ways, and who after being reported to the church, that is those ordained by the church for that purpose, fail to respond, such persons the church excludes from the Christian community. This is what Paul's describing here in this particular passage. What he's saying is too much at risk. This is polluting the body in God's eyes. And here's what you do. When you have to exercise discipline, here's what it looks like. You invoke the name of Jesus in his power. He's with you, Matthew. Remember we looked at. Do it in the name of Jesus. When someone's sitting today, the first thing they say is, Jesus isn't judging me. And when the church makes this determination, Jesus is saying, do it in my name. Jesus is on the side of his office bearers who've done their job in care and love. What does he say? When you're gathered together, when you've discerned the facts, and you determine that someone's living in unrepentant sin, explain it to the congregation and deliver them to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. What in the world does that mean? Here's what Paul's saying. Make a public declaration that they're now separated from you. There's a separation that's taken place from the holy community, the covenant community. And they're put back into the world. That's their status now. You've made a status declaration where the principalities and the powers hold sway over people. Make a separation that they're suspended from the church's privileges of the Lord's Supper. And what belong to the gospel koinonia that we talked about this morning. It's so beautiful. And guess what might happen? They might wake up. Because they felt this. Remember the prodigal in the pigsty? He runs from his father's house, goes and lives an adulterous, squanderous life. And one day he's sitting eating the slop from the pigs, and he came to himself. And what did he realize when he came to himself? I'm separate from my father. What am I doing here? I've wrecked my life. I'm living in riotous living. Everything that my parents taught me, my father taught me. I'm going home. You know what the Lord's saying here? That's the way to wake them up. It's the most merciful and loving thing you could do to someone who's so hard in their sin. See, our whole mentality of discipline just has to change, and it's so difficult. This is how the Lord says, I leave the 99 and go get them. This is how I show my patience and love, through the church's act of discipline. We think, if we do that, we're going to drive them harder away. We think, if we do that, we'll lose the person. We think, if I say something, they're done, and I'm going to lose them. They're lost. That's why we do this. And you see mercy's written all over this passage. Isn't it sort of a mystery here? Deliver someone there, so that they'll realize their alienation and say, I need to go back. Or be warm, be well fed. We don't want to offend you. What do we do? And the Lord is saying, this is how, when a church honors that, how do you know I won't soften that heart right then and there? You know what happened in this case? 2 Corinthians. The punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love to him. I think you can make the case from that. He came home. And you know what the apostle said? Put him right back up and reaffirm him. I knew a man who would give you his testimony. Ran away and ruined his life, ruined his marriage, and riotous living. Did everything terrible. His father was a pastor. The church did the hard work of excommunicating him. And one day he came back and he stood up on that stage with tears in his eyes. And he says, I repent. And they threw their arms around him. Do you have confidence in the means God uses? Next time we'll look more at the consequences of the neglect. It'll be painful at times. It'll be hard. People can run to other churches today and avoid the whole process. But I say this with all sincerity of heart. We always do it in love, never in anger. The goal is always, we love you. Come home. Come home. It's a far worse thing to neglect it. Jesus is merciful and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. That's why he put discipline in place. That's why we have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us through this difficult subject tonight. It's so hard for us, we confess. We're all sinners. We all have strayed. And we ask, O Lord, that you'd be merciful to us. That's why when you tell us, especially as leaders, when we go after someone, to do it with the spirit of gentleness, lest we are overtaken in the sin. And yet it doesn't, Lord, prevent us or excuse us, because we're sinners, from going after your sheep who wander from the fold. Change our heart on this. Help us to understand it's an act, Lord, in the day of salvation, of trying to bring restoration. And give the congregation an understanding, as the leadership has to do these things, of understanding why it's necessary, how you love to keep your church pure, and how it brings fear on the whole body, and how sheep are won back. Forgive us, Lord, for the neglect of this at times, and be merciful to us. And may we all guard our lives from sin. For to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Thank you, O Lord, for upholding us in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time together today. But quickly, we'd like to leave you with our contact information if you would like to reach out to us for whatever reason. If you have questions, you can visit our website, agradio.org, and then drop us an email from there, questions@agradio.org, or you can give us a call at 888-504-8805. Now, if you visit our website, there are some other opportunities there. For instance, you can listen to past programs, dive into some of the archives that we have there of past messages from Pastor Chris. You'll also be able to find links to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and visit our other formats and platforms that you like to follow. And then, of course, as always, Pastor Chris from time to time is dropping off commentaries and thoughts on current situations. In fact, we'll get to Pastor Chris again here in just a moment with that. But again, it's all at agradio.org, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Well, we have spent time today focusing in on church discipline. We'll continue to do so for a couple of more programs. But pretty much what we are looking at is church discipline within the church, within our own community. But outside of our community, there are a ton of social issues going on, and for some reason, we feel the need to address a variety of these issues. So, Chris, if you could take a moment and give us a clear understanding of some of these issues as far as social justice is concerned and how the church is to respond.
To start, you know, Jesus told us that in this world we're going to have a lot of tribulation and that it shouldn't surprise us. And I think that's what's been surprising to me, is that Christians are acting so surprised by the tribulation they're facing. Jesus forewarned us that all these kinds of things would happen, and he was very concerned that we would stay on task and stay on mission. I'll come back to that. But I think that it's important to say we are members of two kingdoms. In other words, you know, I'm a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of the United States. You know, I live in California. I have duties and responsibilities as a citizen to care for the well-being of society, that those things that promote my neighbor's good. I don't want to see society do things that are harmful to my neighbor. That's all the way from the abortion clinic to legalizing drugs to doing things that are harmful for the well-being of society and ultimately demonstrate rejection of basic morality in the way that God made people. And, you know, there are creation norms and there are these things. So, in other words, we've got a whole swath of issues happening that are attacking creation norms, how we were made, and then they, you know, this affects society and how neighbors relate to one another. And you're right, all these movements are at loggerheads with each other. Nobody's getting along. No, you know, there's all this fighting and discord and separation and evil, and nobody can seem to find a solution. So as a citizen of this world, I care a lot about those issues. We need to do what we can, you know, in praying and being a good citizen and loving our neighbors the way we can, doing what's within our reach and abilities to help to promote righteousness, right? These are good things. But I'm afraid that with that, all that said, that pursuit, which is ultimately a temporary pursuit, it's a worldly pursuit, and there can be good pursuits that belong to this world for the good of my neighbor. They're temporary. They do not belong to, ultimately, the kingdom that we are receiving, and that there is a much better heavenly calling that we have, that all of these pursuits in sort of shock and horror and panic are swallowing up our primary mission. And what is the primary mission of Christians? To be salt and light. Sure, we preserve the world, we flavor the world, but that light aspect means that we give people the light to show them the way. There's a message that we have. There's hope that we're given, and it's beyond the grave, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm afraid that Christians are caught up so much now in the present lawlessness of our times. This is just what Jesus said. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're living it in the church right now. And because we are so off track, we're angry. You know, I'm not saying this. That's a broad generalization, right? I'm just saying, you see this, if social media reflects anything, which I don't know, you know, who knows? But, you know, we see so much anger. Have we forgotten the primary mission is to send the gospel out to the ends of the earth, and that we're a part of a great program of redemption to announce forgiveness of sins for the worst of sinners? Have we forgotten that? That concerns me, sure. And I think we have to stay on task and call Christians to understand where their primary focus has to be is what Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. That's where the heart of the mission of Christians in the church has to be. That's why we speak the truth as it is in Jesus to people.
Well, there is an awful lot more to this conversation, and we'll pick up tomorrow as we continue our look at recovering church discipline and just exactly how, as Christians, we are to address social issues without forgetting our primary calling. Again, that's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.